The first thing I trained in before doing readings and providing insight was actually energy healing. And I really wanted to learn how to move energy to help people align. But what I realized is that I loved talking. I loved speaking about it. And I love the mental understandings of our patterns, almost the therapeutic side. And yet having this intuitive psychic cheat code, because no one told me those things. I'm looking and I see them in your pattern energetic field, but it does help us to process where something comes from, not always, but sometimes, in order to kind of neutralize it, to see it and to accept it and to no longer play into that limiting pattern. And those limiting patterns do come from major experiences in our life or from what we witness and absorb from our family. That's why I like to pull people back rather than like, here's your advice moving forward. That's not how it works. We have to change for manifestations to change. And so my goal on the call is to help people change and just utilizing the different spiritual and psychic gifts I have to help them get there. But my goal is for that individual to move forward. Whether you're communicating with a past loved one, you're just getting insight advice, my ultimate goal as a person is for that person to expand into deeper empowerment and love for themselves in that call. And that's what's going to create the ability to make change in your life, is changing the energy and the mind and who you are as a person in order to make a different choice.
All DeLulu besties, welcome. This is a safe space to vent, talk shit, reflect, and most importantly, keep it real. It's better to trauma dump here so that we don't explode on innocent randos. Just admit it. You're bothered. What's up, DeLulu besties? Welcome back to another episode of Balancing the Bullshit. Today, we have Avery Virginia. She's an intuitive spiritual leader, a psychic medium, and guide who helps people live intuitive and spiritually integrated lives of abundance and purpose through channeling, mediumship, healing, and manifestation alignment, which all of that is just a fancy way for saying your life is about to change. I literally had a 1-hour session with her and my whole life changed. I would not be an entrepreneur if it wasn't for her. She is a genius. So get ready for your life to change. I'm excited for you guys.
Thank you so much for having me. I love that. I love that intro. I love that testimony. I loved working with you because not everybody takes the insight and runs, right? Like they should. I want them to, but you did. And that is so powerful. It's such a testament, like provide the guidance, but someone to take it and to let it in and go with it, your life will change.
Well, I think that's a testament to you because the way that you communicated everything to me, I don't even know if you knew this, but 2 minutes into our call, I was crying and my jaw was dropped. Because as soon as you started talking, as soon as the call started, everything you said was so accurate. And it was things that you couldn't have ever known. It was things that when you said it, I was like, oh, that's so true. But you took me way back to my deep roots and my childhood and made everything in my whole life make sense, like why I am the way. So you explain it in such a way that it's digestible. I can act on it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So are you similar to other psychics who can see relatives or spirits in the room and you're just deciding to get all this information from them? Or
yeah, so I could follow that exact protocol. Now, everybody's different. Psychics have different ways of seeing. So some people will physically see, like they'll get an image. I can get some images, but I just get a lot of knowing, and honestly a lot of it comes out of my mouth, and that's the first time I'm aware of it. Like once I get into the person, once I've connected with them, I just keep talking, and it's amazing. Those are the most accurate things. So it's almost more what you would call channeling, which means it's just coming out of my mouth, and I love that because I like hearing it in real time, and then I love seeing how that person responds. But if you ask me what came before that, I wouldn't know. I'll open the door with maybe an image or some insight and explain those. But once I get on a roll, it just keeps going. So I could very much just focus on more of the classic reading, but I've always been curious why there isn't more guidance for that person to move forward. I love transformation. Always loved transformation. Even when I was little, I'm like, I want to see the makeover story. You know, I want to see the thing where we transform and everything gets better because I like cycles and moving. So my brain naturally picks that out. So sometimes when you see things, it almost feels more concrete, right? When you're a psychic that sees things. But when you're someone that's just picking up and translating it, you almost understand the fact that it is just this energy. It's a radio. Like, like the internet, right? You're tuning into this certain podcast. I'm tuning into this certain frequency of information because it's not physical, right? I'm not tuning into anything in the physical sense necessarily. And so my translation is a part of that. My intentions are a part of that too. And so is the person I am talking to. Whoever is receiving that information, their intentions are in that, which is why there's a lot of similar information that comes through, especially let's say mediumship, which is when traditionally you're connecting to someone who has passed on or a spirit guide or something like that. There's a lot of similar information that comes through for people, but there's also a lot of varying difference about what that's like. And part of that is because one, you have a translator, right? I am a translator. Every psychic is a translator. There's no 100% pure information. I mean, we're all translators of our environment too, right? Like no one sees, hears, and picks up on anything in the physical world exactly the same. And this doesn't take away the accuracy. It's actually more about how it feels, how it transforms the person that you're talking to. Does this make sense?
Yeah, I'm mind blown.
I find not a lot of people explain it like that. And so maybe that's not everyone how they experience it, but having worked with other psychics, having been to a formal training, I did notice that because we would all be reading the same people, we'd be practicing on each other, and we'd get very different information. And different people would come through and the way you explain it is different. And very much I'm a part of it, right? And what I'm seeking is a part of anybody's reading, which is why you want to pick somebody you resonate with, right? Like if someone's really looking for the ways that all relationships are bad or whatever, some people had a hard time in relationship, they might portray that in your information. They can filter that. But at the end of the day, the more I remove my bias, the more I'm connected to the energy that's coming through for the person, the less of me that's going to be present. And not in a bad way, in a good way. Like the more clear the information is. But I can do any of that. And so it depends on what the person needs. But my number one goal is what's most needed. So I'm tuning into my spiritual guidance of what's most needed for this person to move into the greatest wholeness in that moment. And sometimes they need to connect to their mom who passed away. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they just need some insight and advice on why they are the way they are. And I find that a lot more often than not, that that's sometimes what is needed. They're blocked in some way and they want to know why. And they want to know what to do about it. And then they want a vision for what that might lead to be motivated about. Like, what's possible for me? And all of that is available in someone's energy. And it's kind of amazing.
Wow.
All of that is just walking around in our energetic field.
That is so crazy. Okay, so when I talked to Avery, it was over the phone, not even over Zoom or video chat. So I guess even our energy radiates through the phone, like you said, a radio.
Yeah. It's anywhere you attune to. I did not always know that I had these gifts. So a lot of people think you just know you're kind of set that way. In hindsight, I look back and I definitely had the ability to channel insight and information to people very early on because I remember just saying things about adults and people that I didn't, no one told me that. You don't know that you're different because you just are. You're just existing.
Yeah.
But I don't have the classic, like then I saw colors or I saw ghosts. Like I don't have any memory of that. But in that, we're always attuned to those informations if your mind leans that way. And everybody has some capability of being at least intuitive. That's innately human. Many of us shut it off. Society very much kind of encourages us to shut it off. Mm. But creativity comes in through an intuitive response, an idea for a new business, everything. Unless we're being told exactly what to do by somebody else. Like there is some information coming to all of us in our intuitive channel. But some brains naturally lean towards being more open to that mode of communication, meaning so a psychic. And so I realized I was always picking up on the emotions, like empathically, but also sometimes the mental narrative of people around me. I didn't know it until later. But if I think about someone, I can often feel how they're feeling about themselves and their lives in that moment. I might think that it's how I feel about them until I talk to them later. So you don't have to be in person at all or see anyone. I mean, you can do a blind email reading. Yeah, I prefer the person because it's so much more impactful to be exchanging energy in that way versus just delivering it, but you can connect to the higher self of anybody at any point in time and tune into that information. Now, people do have boundaries internally. I think that their own spiritual wisdom provides boundaries. There's times where, like, I don't see something about someone maybe until a year or two later because it didn't serve their consciousness to hear it at that time. So I don't get to see it. unless sometimes it serves me to know that and to hold it, but not to talk about it. And there's time for that too. Like, I can know this about someone, but I know that it's not time for them to hear it. Like, it's not part of their healing journey yet. But sometimes I'm like, how did I not know that for a year? So that's kind of why people think, if you're a psychic, why don't you know the lottery numbers? I'm like, because it doesn't work that way. It is certain information coming to you, but there does seem to be some higher guidance of what gets to come in and what doesn't. Like, what serves you and what you're open to receiving, right? Like, limiting beliefs exist in the psychic plane as well. I know myself to be really good at describing how people feel to them in words that they maybe never could have exactly pinpointed. It's one of my favorite things to do in life.
Yeah.
And it's funny because in the therapeutic world, you should never speak on someone's behalf. It's one of my best skills, is to speak on someone's behalf. And it's beautiful to see that it's life-changing, right?
But yeah.
Sometimes I get nervous about, like, let's say I'm doing mediumship, and one of the things is getting really, really hard evidence. So I went to a training to increase that, but there's some blocks of, like, what if I get it wrong? So that means, like, dates, times, names, causes of death. And I can definitely do that, but sometimes it's harder to pull because I have some worry about it, right? And can't be in worry because you're like, I could get it wrong. But describing that person's relationship to this, to whoever's coming through, what their personality was like, I mean, I could write poems about it. But then I'm like, the exact date of death is, you know, and you don't always get that stuff. It's just like, you're bringing in information that you have to translate, or what's being offered to you as well.
Okay, so my life coach told me when I was like, I don't know what I want to do with my life. She was like, there's some natural ability or talent that you were born with. And then as you were saying, society just gets us to steer away from it and fit the box that, like, go to college, get a degree, work in corporate life. Did you ever stay away from picking up on people's energies? And then how did you come back to it?
Yeah. So, you know, I didn't know that I was doing it younger in such a classical sense. So I didn't believe in any of this stuff growing up. I grew up very religious, not like spiritual religious, where you got to kind of have some of this stuff too. It was like, you just go, you attend, it's out there, you do your thing. So all of this would have either been insane or against my religion. One of the two, right? It's either too illogical or it's dark. I'm not a big fear of spiritual things kind of person. So it was just illogical, right? It was irrational. My life's journey is eating my own words at some point in time. So I just don't say anything too extreme anymore, or I'll literally be like the next poster child for it. So yeah, I never believed in any of this stuff. I thought it was super weird and crazy because that's just the world I grew up in. I really believed in science and logic. It was just my very masculine side, if you will, was really dominant. I was very, you know, good in that world. I got a degree in health and it was very based on what they were telling us to think about health. But I was always very intuitive, and I was always very good at saying things that mattered to people all of my life. But I worked for the hospital system. I did community outreach and health for a while. And I mean, in a short amount of time, I was like, this isn't for me. So that led me to my own spiritual journey. And that led me to seeing people who do what I do now and think, I want that. It's an interesting thing to see that there's such a unique encoding in our desires. So me witnessing someone's like, that is so cool. I want that. And if I look back, the hints were there. My favorite movies, everything. Everyone loves Harry Potter. We want magic. And I was unwilling to settle in a mundane world entirely. I just couldn't. My soul could not relax in a world where there wasn't something that seemed a little mystical and magical. So I went on a journey to find that. And in that, I found those gifts in myself and recognized the threads that were already there. And I imagine, I just don't remember that it was probably a lot stronger when I was little. And I just don't remember some of it because it just was normal to me. It's also something you can hone. And so I opened it up. I honed it. And a lot of that is just about having the confidence in it. So I left that world and then I continuously come back. And there's times where you're like, oh, I don't want to put this out there entirely. And there's places where you shouldn't because people are very judgmental. They don't understand. It does seem ridiculous, right? Compared to what the world is talking about. Something like, wait, but do you even know that if you just sat there for a little while, I could tell you all about you. I will be at different events, pop-up events. I had this kid sit down. Sometimes I'll use tarot cards, but it's only because people really like them and they speed up the process a little bit. Now it kind of throws me off. I'm so much more of a natural reader than a card. Sometimes it throws me off, but I like them for myself. And this kid sits down and like, fine. He wanted to test me. Maybe he was like 12. He's like, tell me what happened in the fourth grade. And I was like, this is fun. I was like, no one's ever asked me so specific. I mean, what's going to happen? Like, I'm not charging this kid anyway. Just let me see. And I described an overall arc to his fourth grade year. He's like, fine, fifth grade. And I did it. I was like, wow, that is available.
It just came to you?
It just came to me. And I was like, you know, you fought with a really, really good friend. Do you understand that? He's like, yes. And he looked kind of freaked out. And he got a little annoyed. He's like, you know everything. And I was like, well, also be mindful of your future. Okay. Sometimes we want to have a good time, but don't have too much of a good time. I'm seeing that in you. We got some coping skills coming out. We're only 12. And he was like, taken. Saw his mom laughing in the background. Just like, what's going on? I'm still shocked by it all the time. Especially when you get to connect to a passed on loved one. You're like, this is incredible. Like, I don't see them. I just feel their presence. Everything becomes energy on the other side to some degree. And we're so used to things being very physical and very separate. Like, those things are an aspect of that person too. Like, the way that I'm able to communicate is through the person. It's not that your loved one doesn't also exist, but the tether is through who I'm communicating with. Because people are always like, are they around all the time? Luckily not, or it's so merged in my brain that I don't know. When I'm feeling unwell or sick, my barriers, my boundaries are not very good. So I don't like going grocery shopping then, because I'm like, oh my gosh, their grandmother is sad that they're having a hard time. I'm like, I gotta get out of here. I'm going crazy.
You could be walking in a grocery store and you'll pick up on,
on emotional stories, and I'll feel like I'm picking up on someone who really wishes they could communicate from the other side. And that never happens to me regularly. Kind of like in the movies, it's always happening.
Yeah.
Never happens to me regularly. I have pretty good boundaries. Emotional narratives of people, much harder. I'll pick up on that all the time because it's something that my system always did. And it can be, empathy can be like an adaptation to stress in an environment. So if you grew up in a really stressful household, you'll keep it on all the time. Mm-hmm. Or if you just had a lot of high emotions, like my sisters were always fighting, so I was always reading the room empathically.
Oh.
So that one is harder for me to turn off, but I certainly had no need to like know that someone was always there. Sometimes I kind of wish I did. It sounds a lot cooler, but it's still really magical when it comes through. And just to suddenly be able to describe details. You've never met this person. You cannot see this person. You didn't Google anything about them. They're probably not even Googleable or interesting. You're not friends on Facebook. Someone referred them. They texted you. You calling them. And you're able to describe something in their childhood they've almost never spoken about.
Yes, that was us.
So crazy. I know.
She could not have Googled this. This is not anywhere on social media, nowhere.
And that's what I'm going for. So there's what's called evidential mediumship. You want to bring evidence and hard facts. Those are the things that are sometimes easier to find. When did your grandfather die? Well, that could be Googled, right? But how you felt about him in his presence, in the way that you interacted, it's just not Googleable.
Yeah.
And we need that. We need those details in this world, in scam culture that we live in.
Literally.
And psychics have always had scams. It's a high scam culture kind of vibe in the past, because people were really there's a desperation to knowing things. And yet there have always been amazing people with disabilities. But it's more and more so now, because we're all sort of waking up to a spiritual aspect of ourselves. And in our spiritual journeys, we're more connected. So there are people who just kind of open to these gifts, and maybe not. They're more spiritual paths. And a lot of times they have a lot more fearful responses. You know, somebody's about to leave you and everything's going to fall apart. That's not what we need right now in the world. And that's fine. But like, my perspective is that everything is a tool for our spiritual expansion, and nothing is set in stone. There are major life events when someone's looking towards the future that will probably occur. I believe that there's certain things that we've come in for, the themes of our life, that will find us no matter what. And certain people that are coming to us, we can be on this track or this track, but there's also flexible ways for us to get there. It makes it interesting, makes life not just set in stone, right? And it makes us feel like we have the ability to change paths rather than it was just the only one. And I could be wrong about that, but that's what our experience is, not one set path. But reading the future also allows for someone to alter that in that moment. So if you're like, okay, well, it's not exactly what you're wanting to hear, but here's why. It's because their patterns are manifesting that. We are creating our life and seeking out our life choices through our subconscious programming, our beliefs. More than anything, our beliefs. And people think it's like, just change your thoughts. I'm like, well, our beliefs come from deeply embedded experiences within us. And it is good to try to change your thoughts, but it's a lot harder than you think if anyone's tried to be positive for an entire day. Certain things are so dominant within us because we're storing these emotional stories within us, which is why I can read them. If they were not there, there'd be nothing for me to read. It's not that I'm just looking at the past. I'm actually looking at what's stored within you. I don't see someone's entire timeline at all. I see what is dominantly present within them and the memories tied to them.
It's they're carrying that with them.
They're carrying that in their energetic body, sometimes in their physical body, but really it's that, like, it's in this energetic field that surrounds them. So sometimes someone's coming in with some health things and I might be able to pick up on that, but it's still related to an emotional experience in their life to some degree. And also physical experiences, but there's no difference. The physical is the most concrete version of what's going on in the energetic world. So we see the physical, but every cell is 99.9% empty space, right? Mm-hmm. It's mostly energy in the world, but we're in our physical senses, so we notice the physical. But the energy is always there, and it is animating us, right? The reason why you weren't doing that before we talked is because the dominant beliefs and energy in your system were ones that said, I don't go that way, right? I don't make these changes. I continue on the path forward. And then with your conscious awareness, you have the ability to recognize, heal, and change a narrative within you based on what we brought up. And that narrative shift released something in your energetic field and said, okay, let's have a new story. And when we have the new story, we will take different actions, and that will lead to different manifestations.
Yeah. So for anybody who's confused.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm too excited about this.
No, this is so fascinating. Okay. So when I had my session with her, I was like, I'm frustrated with my career. Help me figure it out. So what she was just saying about the deep-rooted stories that you're carrying with you, and that's what's blocking you from making a change. I was trying in the physical world so hard. I was applying to new jobs all the time, putting so much energy into trying to figure it out. Like, what do I need to do? What do I need to change? But I was carrying this story with me ever since childhood, how my parents got divorced. And obviously my dad, he's a male, so he had a lot of masculine energy. And then my mom, she became the sole provider after the divorce. So as a defense mechanism to hide her depression and low self-esteem from all of that, she brought out her masculine energy. And when you look at it that way, it's so deep, but on the surface, it made sense. And you wouldn't ever think twice about it, because I just saw it as, oh, well, now she's a single mom, so she's got to work hard, obviously. Mm-hmm. But what Avery explained to me was she wouldn't have had to work as hard had she stayed in her feminine energy, because that was her natural self, which would have brought out her natural abilities. So all I knew was masculine energy. So she was secure putting in all this energy to try to force a career where, same thing as your mom, like, you could just bring out your feminine energy and actually enjoy life and be your authentic self.
Yeah. And one of the things we talked about, I think for you, was that you also didn't want to do that because it'd be like a dishonor to how hard she worked.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And that was a big moment for you. And I thought about that because it's such a deeper truth. These truths and these patterns aren't only true for just us, right? There's a lot of people that are kind of in similar energy dynamics with what's going on collectively. And the female, like the feminine, having to suppress in order to feel like it has to survive, which, to your mom's truth and to what she knew at that moment, was so true. So it's not like she did it wrong, right? It was just that there was no other option available to her in her mind at that time, right? But there's another option available to you, and you were feeling that, and then there was that huge resistance, and you don't know why you couldn't let yourself work more in flow, be more creative, let it be easier. And it was like, well, it feels like that would be like a disservice to how hard she worked for you. Like, if it's easy for you and you make a lot more money doing it, it's almost like, why did she have to do that?
Oh my God. You know what else you had told me on the phone after you said that? You were like, right now you're trying to please your mom by staying in this masculine energy. But once you take the leap of faith pretty much and go into your feminine energy, then you'll actually gain her approval. Like, you're scared of it. And that's actually how it's played out. My mom has been mind blown, and she says it all the time. Like, I didn't know any other options. I thought corporate life was it, but I'm learning so much from you. There's creative ways to make money, and you could be a lot happier, not work as hard.
Yeah. And we're here to liberate our family lines. We think it's like, we just come in with all this damage. I'm like, no. We come in with content to evolve it. We do it or not, right? But the option is to do it, right? And so when I see a pattern, I love looking for patterns. Like, I love all of my abilities, but I've always been someone who likes to see the pattern. You know, I understood the formulas in math. I didn't memorize them. I had to understand the relationship to them. And we have algorithms in our brain. Algorithms are really funny examples of how our minds work. We look for similar things within us. And there's patterns and family lines for sure, based on the experience, but also based on what's been going on in certain lines in that family. family. So like woman to woman, it starts out like maybe your grandmother had to be in her feminine, but it was awful. It was like a retracted feminine. Yeah. She couldn't leave the home, you know? Yeah. And so all of a sudden it's a liberation for your mother to even be in her masculine. And that's true collectively, right? All of a sudden we're standing at this point where we want to be able to bring the feminine back in a safer container. So our masculine's been healed. So our lines want to heal because it's just part of the natural evolution. And so for you to be in a more feminine way, it's not just a testament to the feminine. It's also a testament to the masculine within you that had almost reached its peak. Meaning you set the boundaries, you understood how to navigate your wealth, your worth in a world. You knew that you could actually overcome adversity through sheer focus. This frees you. Right? It's still scary to switch into the feminine, but to know that it exists, that is the inner container of the masculine in our world, is to say, I know that I can survive. I know that I can protect myself. I know that I have those things. I can create in that setting. But like our great grandmothers couldn't create and flourish and thrive, many of them, because they didn't have that feeling within themselves. They weren't allowed to explore the masculine side. When we explore too much of the masculine into a feminine, it becomes domineering. It takes from us more than it gives, right? Because there's no balance. And it's no longer about creating. It's about consuming and forcing. It's about working, right? It's just about working, not about allowing. But you have to feel safe to allow life to flow to you, right? You're not going to do that in an unsafe environment. You're not going to sit there and receive ideas and paint and journal and make a podcast if you feel that the walls are crumbling around you.
Right. Yeah, and that's how I felt.
Yeah.
And then an hour later, my whole life changed.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you had your masculine ability, and then you also realized that you no longer had to do that. It was safe to do something else. And we create these safety patterns within us that serve us at some point in time. And then at the same time, they don't serve us forever. So some version of you, some childhood version of you created that story. And that's what was showing up in your energetic field. But the reason it came up that day is because it was time to move on. Your soul was asking for something so big that it needed those subtle shifts to get there. That's why people are like, why is that what comes up in that reading? Why is that what's showing up? It's like, because you have called out for that guidance every day that you hated your job, right? Every day that you were exhausted, every day like, there's got to be something more. I hate this. I'm getting old too fast. And like, when do we enjoy our life? That's what happened to me. I was like, when do I enjoy my life?
Yes.
I've been in school since I was 5. Like, I thought being an adult was liberating, but honestly, it's the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And I am depressed.
Yes.
And I'm probably going to need to be medicated to stay here. So
yes.
I'll just take the risk and, you know, figure something else out. I don't know what it is. It's scary. And yeah, it's stressful at times. At least it's interesting. And sometimes I get to sleep in. So I got that going for me, right? And that's the journey of taking those are intuitive leaps, right? But you had called out for that. And so when someone comes to me, I'm both listening to what's holding them back and to what's calling them forward and trying to get them to move towards what's calling them forward in their life's path.
So fascinating.
We are fascinating beings, especially on the energetic level, on the psychological, spirit, like all of the levels, the physical level. There's so much more going on than we have any idea. I'm just scratching the surface. And that excites me because there's so much more for me to discover in this energetic spiritual realm about people, but also how it relates to the psychological, to the physical, mental, all of it, the emotional. And the emotional seems to be this piece that we all have the hardest time with. We're really working on our mental, which seems like it's the same thing, but I see people living in their mind only. They're like, cool, I'm setting my mind forward.
The logical step.
The logical step, and I'm going to be successful. And they do, and they achieve their goals, yet they did not get the feeling they wanted.
Yes.
Right? So people are like, but I still want to manifest this. I still want money. And I'm like, yeah, but what you want is to feel joyful, safe, creative, and flourishing. You would feel nourished by that money. You don't just want it.
Yeah.
Right? But a mental person who believes in it, this is all manifestation where you believe enough in it and you are taking the actions you believe will get you there, you're more than likely going to get there unless you have some sabotage mechanism, which is a whole other story, right? But we see that with people, like people who are really successful talk about like, I knew I would do it, I did it, you know, and some of them don't. It's another journey entirely, but there's those stories, but then they're not happy.
Yeah.
And so we say, well, money doesn't make you happy. No, nothing externally makes you happy. Happiness lives internally. We feel it within ourselves. When we get into the emotional story to create the thing, it is more likely going to amplify that. We get what we create something with. So if we create something only with the mental and focus on the physical and the mental, and we have no emotional connection to it, it's not likely going to bring us any emotional connection, right? But yeah. If you create a business through heart and feeling and joy, and then you have your mind tell you that you can be successful, but you feel into what might be nourishing and exciting as you create it, it is more likely going to amplify that feeling within you and reflect it back at you.
It's funny how no one knows this. Society doesn't teach us this. I talk about this on the podcast all the time, how once I make all this money, then I'll be happy. And I reach six figures. Then I was like, no, I'm still miserable. Now I'm going to go for seven figures. Yep. And then I was like, okay, money doesn't buy happiness. And then exactly what you said, now I'm actually enjoying the journey of being an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that I feel like I don't even work. Money just comes to me and it doesn't even matter anymore because I'm already happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it's just fun to expand. So you could have the same goals, right? You'd be like, you know what? I want to hit seven figures. Not just because you want it, but because you want to see who you become in order to manifest that, not from a forced place, but who would I have to be? And that is the really fun part about coming from it from a more spiritual, energetic place, is you recognize you must evolve, but you're no longer willing to evolve in a way that requires you to be unhappy to do so. So you got to get more creative, right? And we need that. It isn't just a desire personally, it's a desire collectively. We need for people to show the way that we do not have to work so hard and never see our families, never do things we love, buy homes, but never even know what they look like because we're barely there. We only see what's on our screen. We need for people to create options through their sheer willpower and manifestation because they do not exist to them, right? There's no proven path for other people to walk those paths. And we're seeing that now. So the internet shows us that, and we start to believe it. Social media has shown us that that's an option. We start to believe it. Our problem is so many people want to do the exact same thing as everybody else because they're like, well, that's how you get there. I'm like, no, trailblazers intuited their way. The way is through your intuition. Yes, you're going to get insight and advice and pings externally. That's how it works. You're going to see someone that lights you up and inspires you. Like my story, I saw someone, I had a reading. I was like, I want that. That's so cool. I want to be able to do that. And it was already within me. It was just dormant. But I didn't need to copy them, right? I needed to listen to that. I needed to be inspired, but I had to listen to where I wanted to go each step internally within me. And that's when it just keeps unfolding. Yeah. And it's not about getting the money, but I remember people telling me that a lot and I hated it because there's this almost this sense of don't want money. It's bad. It makes you unhappy. That's so not true, though. Yeah. Being very broke is stressful, you know? So let's not deny the sheer joy and the privilege that money brings to us. Yes. Right? And if you don't come at it, like if you don't know how to feel safe, relaxed, and joyful within your body, there's no amount of money. And there's so many people that are living proof of that.
Yeah.
I was listening to this book and they were talking about how Jim Carrey, everybody knows his manifestation story, or a lot of people do. He set out, he's like, I want to get paid something like $10 million for acting services. And he writes this fake check to himself and by a date. And then he ends up manifesting it. He gets to be in Dumb and Dumber and he makes that exact amount almost to the date within 3 weeks before the date that he wrote. Gave himself 5 years to figure it out. Yeah. And everyone always tells that story. But what they don't tell the story is how Jim Carrey also now talks about how I hope everybody gets everything that they want and they realize it doesn't matter. That's what he says now. He was really determined. He was really good at manifesting. And you know what he got? The emptiness of that. But it wasn't the money that made him empty. It was the fact that it was the emptiness he created that he was hoping he'd feel that way. That's why so much more manifestation is about get into the feeling that you think you want. It will come back to you and you'll start to complete that desire right now within you.
Yeah.
So you're not driven by something that feels like you can't have it, that it's in lack. But also we start to change what we really want when it's not feeling like we can't have it. So like, who would you be? Some people think that this means you should spend money you don't have. I'm like, no, you feel satisfied. You feel you enjoy your life. That's what you think is going to happen when you have a lot of money.
Yeah.
It unfortunately does not mean going into credit card debt to get there. It might for you. It might. It's everybody's journey, but I'm just saying it's not the best. Younger me has experimented. Trust me, it's stressful. But you start to be like, what did I wanted to be? With money specifically, we want to feel safer. We want to feel like we have options and choices to do the things we're really inspired by more often than not. And we want to be generous. We want to be able to be creatively expressive with our lives, whether that's our home or our clothing. Now, some people want it to make a certain statement, right? But when you start to do the inner work of like feeling into your abundance and your prosperity, you don't always want the things that come from a place of feeling not good about yourself anymore, because you start to feel better. Right. Yeah. Like, you don't care if you have the 7 figures anymore, but you might still get it anyway, because why not? It doesn't matter. It's definitely not going to hurt me, you know? But you're not, defining my worth.
Yeah.
To get there, because that was maybe based on the fact that you hoped it would do something for you that it might not.
Yeah.
But as you're like, well, what I really wanted was creative expression. I wanted freedom of my time. We thought the money would buy us that. You're like, no, actually, typically I had to trade more of myself in those systems to get it, right? So then you became, what you wanted probably was to be an entrepreneur, to have no ceiling to your life experience.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And so when we start to do the inner manifestation work and seeing what it is we really want, and you start to cultivate that within yourself, you're going to take actions that lead to that. And you might be on very different outcome than you thought you were creating, which is definitely my truth. I thought I would be doing very, very different things. Yeah. I never thought I'd be doing this when I was younger. It wasn't an option. So I'm glad that I didn't stick to my manifestation plan as a younger person. Mm-hmm. I would have just stayed kind of in my safety zone of what I thought was possible.
But going back to manifesting, like focusing on the feelings, not the physical thing that you think you want. Mm-hmm. In order to feel that, you do have to work your limiting beliefs.
Yes.
But you dug them out. Like, how can people, is there any way for them to help themselves or?
Absolutely. Outside of getting someone that's really good at seeing that, one, there's a lot of people that are better at seeing it than you know it's your friends.
Take the courageous leap. Like, hey,
do you see any patterns in me that you think are holding you back? Now, ask a friend that's good and nice with their words, or you're going to hate them forever.
I don't want to know.
Maybe this is bad. Like, I'm like, maybe not. Don't say, what is it that you don't like about me, okay? Because yeah. You're going to really, you won't have friends after that. You won't want them anymore. Also, taking time to journal and being, okay, what runs through my mind? So write out something you want and then write down what you would have to do to get it. And I'll tell you where your limiting beliefs are. They exist in how you think you have to get somewhere. And then look at what you'd be willing to do. And often what we believe has to happen, what we're willing to do or what we'd want to do, they don't match up. So there are people like, you don't have to be joyful to manifest. We talk about it, but I'm like, there's a lot of miserable people getting things that they want, but it's because what they were willing to do and what they believed you had to do to have that thing matched. Mm. And some people are willing to be really miserable, but others of us are not, apparently. So, and I hope people are less and less willing to do things miserably to be successful, but they work on their belief systems instead of just settling.
You know, it just popped in my mind because I'm mind blown by everything you say, but it kind of makes a little more sense how this stuff comes to you intuitively in your readings, because I do journal and it is fascinating.
Yeah.
I'll start out like, I'm having this issue. What do I do? I'm focusing so hard. And then it gets to the point where I just journal and don't even think. And then I'll go back and read it. And I'm like, whoa, I knew what to do the whole time, but I just didn't listen. The information just flows out of you.
Yes. And that's what I'm tuning into. There's a part of you that already knows. Mm-hmm. And sure, I have a life advice, but that would come from my experience. So I'm tuning in to the inner guidance within someone, and then it's my inner guidance on how to deliver it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like, you have access to it. Everyone has access to it. For people that are pretty intuitive that call someone like me, I'm reaffirming. I'm just reaffirming something they know. And that's usually because people are listening more than they think, but they get off based on all the external information telling them the opposite. So they need someone to push them back on track. Now, there's every now and then someone who's like, never listen. They're really shut down. They're like, whoa. Yeah, I never thought about that. I'm like, really? Come on. But it's very rare that they have no idea what I'm talking about. Because again, these are the things closest to them coming. If I pulled something that was so far away, it would be irrelevant, unaccepted, and odd. It might take 5 years for that to make any sense to them. Mm. And every now and then there's something that comes in like, just leave that for later. I was at a training, like, just leave it for later. Just leave it there. And I'm like, oh, that's bold. I love when it clicks. Then I love watching that click. You know, I say, I'm like, I'm not done until the aha moment hits. Like, I just, sometimes I'll run long. I'm like, no, if it hasn't clicked. And there are some people that like, they need time to settle. They need time to process. But more often I'm waiting. I can feel when the energy goes from confusion and cut off to, oh yeah. And then it's moving forward. There's stagnancy often when people call because they're like, I can't move forward. I'm stuck in some way, or I need to heal, or I feel uncomfortable in some way, shape, or form. That's why they're calling me. Yeah. They need guidance. And some people are just curious and fun. That's always fun because they get a lot of really easy stuff. Not easy, but they get like, here's what's moving forward. Everything's moving forward. They just want to enhance that.
Oh.
But typically, if you know what you need to do, you don't need outside guidance. But you can feel when it shifts in, when someone clicks into place and they are suddenly like, yep, something has changed in them and it just set.
Do you have any advice for people who have a hard time listening? Because I remember before I started meditating, we have so many thoughts come through our head.
Yeah.
So I would have a hard time knowing, do I actually want this or is it just outside noise that fed me this information? So I don't truly want that. Like I couldn't ever trust myself because I didn't know what thought to act on.
Yeah. Absolutely. So something that I've been learning a lot about, I went to a training recently, even though I've had these skills, I like to see how people do it more formally when something just comes about. Intention was everything. So if you don't know which thing is yours, then sit down and be like, I want to intend to receive my guidance in the highest form. And it's not that. Your mind's intention is very powerful. Like, then let it go. And just let everything go for a while and see what comes back. And if you feel confused at the moment, that's not the time to take the guidance. Wait till clarity comes in.
Yeah.
But knowing that you have the power to set the intention is part of the key. We don't know that we have the ability to do it. Nobody told us that we could ask an intention and know that you can receive it, then it comes, right? If we don't know that we can receive it, it's pretty hard to get because again, that's a limiting belief blocking that. If I'm doing a reading, I make sure to set the intention for the highest good, what most serves them, and what they can understand at that time. So an example, a really mediumship-based example is I was at this training and they're like, okay, you need to bring in someone for anybody in this room. And before I set my intention, they asked that and I went up there and I have somebody, right? Meaning like I have someone from the other side who wants to communicate, which I know sounds so crazy. And it felt like you were in this magic school and no one knew who it was. I was like, this person is coming in loud and clear and the instructor is really skilled and she can see, she can tune into what I'm doing. And she's like, did you set your intention before you, did you do it while I was giving the directions? Like, yes. Like, that's just some random person. They're up there, but they're for nobody in this room because you didn't set your intention. And it was such a deep reminder on a fundamental level that we're receiving insight all the time. We're receiving thoughts, ideas, emotions from our environment, but based on our current focus at that moment. So you're focusing on the internet, you're seeing something stressful, you see judgmental posts, you start judging them, right? You are in this state, we are always picking up. And where our mind is focused, like the intention, we're not always setting intentions consciously, but what we're thinking about, what we're focusing out, that's our intention. That's our container for the moment. So whatever that is, what you're going to receive in that moment. So if you're wanting to connect your intuition, there's multiple types. There's intuition based on survival. And that's when people most associate it. That one needs stressful and dangerous scenarios to enact. So people are like, oh yes, I'm very intuitive. I always know when someone's really bad for me. I'd like it if you knew when someone was good for you. And you didn't keep having to find people that were bad for you to access that intuition. Because what you're receiving is, there's a lot of danger, but I know how to navigate it. That's your subconscious intention. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so much sense. You guys, this is what I mean. This is like the craziest concept and she makes it make so much sense.
Because at the end of the day, it is practical because it is in everybody. You know, I love to read mystical books and spiritual books. So I've read those, but I want it to be approachable. I'm both this magical, mystical person and really normal.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe not. I like to talk to real people. I want to know humans, people that just float off into outer space. I want to know some of them too, but like honestly, if this isn't accessible to the average human, it's not useful for humanity.
Yeah.
And there are things like in my own practice, I may go into such deeper thoughts. Why shouldn't everyone know this? This is not for monks in a cave anymore.
Yeah.
This is for everyday mastery. We need it. Collectively, to be able to manifest your soul's desire is like a flower blossoming, a tree growing. It is what we're here to do.
It also makes me feel so much better when you keep saying how this is all a collective thing, because I get so stuck in my drama sometimes of like, oh, poor me, why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
But then when I pull myself out and look at my grandma's generation, all the women went through something very similar, and then my mom's, and now we're all, like, I'm not that special.
Yeah. We're both so beautifully unique and wonderful.
Yeah.
And we're not that different. It's the weirdest thing. We have this very unique essence at us, but the patterns, the themes we go through in our lives, really common. strangely enough. Like, yeah. If you ask around, maybe it's because, again, we have these algorithms. So I'm like, everyone's going through the same thing as me. It's like, no, I'm also attracting people who are going through the same thing. But there's still that many people, you know, there's that many people going through these shifts, and there's people like on similar paths in life, and they'll find you and you'll start to notice that. I have never done a reading for someone that some aspect of it didn't resonate to me, because they were drawn to me, not just because of my skill set, but because of how we match each other, how we resonate. And we are all going through these things together. I love doing readings because I get my best advice for somebody else. And most of us are like that.
It makes me feel way less alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen up, DeLulu besties. If you want to learn all about manifesting and become a master at attracting anything you want in your life, check out my virtual manifesting masterclass, www.karen-rico.com/shop, or click in the link in the show notes. And if you want to watch me podcast every week, check out my YouTube channel at Balancing the Bullshit, or click on the link in the show notes.